Now, once upon a time in professional wrestling, it used to matter what the fans thought.
For example, all you parents out there with kids, when your kids misbehave, you give the New Day a call. Yep. The New Day comes over to your house, and we will fight your children!
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't is wrestling.
Who wants to take back professional wrestling?
Welcome to episode 163 of your favorite podcast, Around the Ring. I am your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. And with me today is my tag team partner and co-host, Ryan the Great Aaron. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I am doing great, sir.
Yeah, we're recording on Friday night. And I was like, I actually have Friday and Saturday off this week, which Ryan will tell you, I don't take many days off. So, so I actually have Friday and Saturday off this week. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see a movie. And I'm going to watch football. So this morning, after I recorded Indie Wrestling Radio, I went to see this movie called, Happy Time Murders.
Is that the Muppet thing?
The Muppet thing, right? So from the commercial and the previews and trailers I saw, I thought it was going to be like really raunchy. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Sausage Party. It's a cartoon.
I have not.
Or just any of the movies like that, the raunchy movies. I thought it was going to be like super raunchy, right? And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it like a 5. And that was the whole thing. It can't be a serious movie, you know what I mean? Because it's Muppets. So to me, right. It's either got to be wholesome or like over the top raunchy, like me getting uncomfortable raunchy. It was neither, so it wasn't a very good movie.
Ah, that stinks.
So, I mean, I give it a C. It was a very average movie. And like, and it's really low on Rotten Tomatoes.
So I'm probably, wow.
So it's like 23% rotten. So yeah, like no one that goes and sees it likes it, which I don't check ratings and stuff like that before I go see a movie at all. I was just saying that's a good template for whether people like the movie or not. So people didn't like the movie. I didn't like the movie. And then I felt like, okay, so I only got two things I'm planning on doing today. So watch a movie and watch football. So I came home, get some sleep, get up around 5 or 6. I was like, man, I'm going to get mentally prepared to watch this SMU-TCU game. And then there's like a 2-hour delay.
Wow.
So these are minor inconveniences in the big thing we call life. But it was just like, I felt like when I this morning after the show, I should have just went to sleep.
Because nothing else has went the way you wanted it to.
Yeah, it was like, I should have just went to sleep. So I was like, I knew I had all of tomorrow off. And I do have to work Sunday, so I was like, you know what? Nothing's went away. Well, I needed to. I'm gonna call Ryan, see if he, I'm gonna message Ryan, see if he wants to record tonight, so I can at least set the recording, so I don't have to worry about that the rest of the week. So at least this has went away so far.
Good deal.
Yeah. So how's your day going today?
It's been pretty good. Been busy. Got off work and then did some grocery shopping in the little mini monsoon we had, trying to get to and from the car with our grocery bags. That was an adventure. And then we took the kid over to Incredible Pizza for a little bit.
You've been having problems finding beer, right?
Man, I can't find beer that I want to save my life. It's driving me nuts. Everybody's got their beer like dirt cheap right now because of the laws that change effective October 1st. But the beer that I want, I can't find, and I don't really want to go to the liquor store because I've wanted one cold and I don't want to wait on it. I should have just went to the liquor store yesterday and I'd have had one by now.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, we're going to more up-to-date liquor laws. So our beer is going to be 6 point, and they're going to be able to sell it at grocery stores. So grocery stores are getting rid of a lot of the low point beer that we have, the 3.2, and so they can stock with the 6 point. Ryan likes the Blue Moon with the orange slice. So if you ever see us at an event and you recognize us, buy Ryan a Blue Moon with an orange slice. Well, no, none of our locations locally have had Blue Moon. So he has not been able to have that today. So yeah, because if you went to the liquor store and threw it in the freezer, it would be cold by now. I'm just saying.
It would have been. I would have had a couple yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. That's my cheap beer of choice, and one sounded really good.
Well, and just for our listeners to know, I drink girl beer, so I like me a nice Angry Orchard. I like something with a fruit flavor. I will drink Blue Moon with the orange in it in a pinch. I like the Blue Moon is one of the regular beers I like. I like that and Corona. And the only reason I started drinking Corona is because that's the only thing Vin Diesel drinks in Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm a big Fast and Furious fan, and I was like, I saw the original Fast and the Furious in the theater, and only thing Vin Diesel drinks is on screen is Corona, right? So when I finally started drinking, because I didn't start drinking until I was like 25, Corona was the, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try Corona, and I tried it with a lime in it, not that bad. I still perform my girly fruit flavored beers, though. Hmm. Yeah,
there's a beer out there for everybody.
Yeah, so one of the shows we listen to, the Super J Cast, every day, every week, they go through about 45 minutes of just, you know, kind of filler as they get warmed up to talk about wrestling, and their topic of choice is always crisp. Or as Americans call them, or we call them, chips. And they talk about the different chips they like. Well, I think we might start a thing where we talk about the different beers we like. I know they talk about, when they go to Japan, they like Strong Zero. And it looks like you can get that in a lot of different flavors. But, yeah, the Angry Orchard is preferred. But an Apple Ale I have no problem with or something like that. But I needed to have some type of fruit flavor to it. I just need to taste something other than the bitterness of beer. Because, you know.
Beer is so good, Floyd. It's so good.
No, it's so bitter. It's so bitter. So bitter, so bitter. I want to send a happy birthday shout out to our boy in the club, Ryan Schwimmer. He sometimes listens to the show. He has often complained about us being negative. So I guess if I give him a birthday shout out, maybe, you know. He'll listen to the show this week.
Wait. Us negative? That's never happened.
he's like, it's funny because there's certain shows I don't listen to because I find them negative. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're negative. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. We're sunshine and rainbows compared to some shows out there.
Yeah, we make Joe Lanza look, we're golly.
So, we got a few topics to cover this week. Ryan sent me a list, and I let him know some topics we want to cover. And it's a hodgepodge. You know, we just got back from, this week we got back from All In, so it's not just at this point. It's almost been a week since All In, so I can't say just anymore. But, we're both going through a little bit of All In depression, you know. I tell people this, when you go on those vacations, it is 24/7 wrestling. It is, literally, you get up in the morning, you shower, you go to an event, you go to StarCast or whatever, something to that line, you stand in a bunch of lines, you meet wrestlers, you're talking wrestling, you get to the end of the day. You pretty much get something to eat, you go to sleep, and then you repeat it again. So it is all wrestling. It is 24/7 wrestling. So when you get back from that vacation, you're kind of over-wrestling for a little bit. It was like, I watched Raw, and I honestly thought it was pretty decent. I one of the things, it was funny because a lot of people's like, the episode was horrible. But I don't know, did you watch Raw?
I did.
Yeah, and this is us talking about it in general. I'm not going to go through a breakdown. It's all, and like I said, it's been 5 days since it's happening. But one thing that irritates me is when the WWE does the same old, same old, he's like, oh, they're not trying anything different, right? And people bitch about that, and they go off on tangents about that. But Raw Monday, the last 2 weeks, they have literally flipped the roster. They have flipped the focus of the show from the Shield to this new faction with Braun, Drew, and Dolph. And then at the end of the show, what a lot of people have brought up, the heels finally got fed up and just beat the Shield up. They got tired of them running the locker room, and they just beat the Shield up. And then instead of going with the Revival beating the B team, which no one seemed to be liking, they knocked out the Revival and put the titles on Drew and Dolph, who people seem to like. But the show is still getting buried. They tried something new, which is what everybody's been begging for, and somehow it's still buried.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't see any of that coming, which doesn't happen rarely, very much with me.
Right. No, I agree with you. It's like and I know I'm guilty of it. We talk about, oh, it's rinse and repeat with Raw. It's like insert random template A or B here and let's run with that tonight. The last couple of weeks they've done something different. It's been solid shows. I mean, they haven't been great, but they haven't been terrible on to WWE standard. And this week when you have half the roster just out beating the hell out of the Shield out of nowhere, I'm intrigued. I want to know what the hell is going to happen next.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. People said Dolph is underutilized. Dolph has now been the Intercontinental Champion and in an Intercontinental Champion pitcher, you know, since WrestleMania, and now he's a tag team champion. They say Drew McIntyre should be a much bigger badass. He's in the tag team title. The B team is old. They took the titles off of him. I'm just like, they're kind of giving everybody everything that they say they want, but we're still kind of bitching about it. Well, if you're going to make Roman the champion, just go ahead and make him the champion. Roman's the champion. He's on there every week. You know?
Yeah, they want a champion that's going to be here every week, fight, defend the title. They put it on somebody, regardless of how you feel about the person. Would you rather it be Brock, who's only here 2 to 3 times a year? Or do you want it to be Roman, somebody who's going to get their ass beat from here and there? Yes, they have the title. Yes, he's a good worker. His promos aren't the best in the world. But get over yourselves, people. Make up your mind.
I've heard Big Show say this, and you know, and it made sense to me. And I truly believe it's the reason Braun went heel. It is hard to make a 7 foot, 300-pound monster babyface. It is hard to build sympathy for him.
Yeah, so, I mean,
big guys kind of got to be heels, unless you can somehow find a bigger guy. And you know what you can't find? A bigger guy than Braun. You might be able to find a taller guy than Braun. You might be able to find a thicker guy than Braun. But you're not going to find somebody that is as tall and as thick as Braun. It's something we've never seen. He looks like a 6'8" Scott Norton.
Yeah, and then you add the fact that he's athletic and he can do things that somebody his size has no business doing.
Yeah, so it's really hard to make him sympathetic. So making him a heel and making him an asshole kind of works, because now you got the giant Braun. You got the 6'7" Drew McIntyre as his backup. And you got fucking Dolph Ziggler, one of the best wrestlers in the world. I mean, if you want to talk about the Shield, they're the super answer to the Shield, because they're pretty much bigger than the Shield in every way. So if you want to make the Shield sympathetic, you have to make a three people that, you know, can actually put up a challenge to the Shield. And the Braun, Dolph, and Drew, their group actually poses a threat to the Shield, an immediate threat. So I don't know. They tried something different. I actually thought it landed, But all people are focused on, all I see people focus on, well, KO quit for a week. Well, you don't really know what happened yet. Because he came back. He attacked Bobby Lashley. Then he helped attack the Shield. But he hasn't cut a promo. So it might make sense. And you know Kevin Owens, how good he is on the mic. He's going to make it make sense. But people just jump off. People just jump to the conclusion that it's not going to make sense already.
Yeah, I don't – like, the thing with Kevin Owens, like, they put him on the alumni page. Moved his merch around a little bit. They did everything they could. Yes, it was only 1 week. Yes, he came back and he attacked Lashley. Like you said, we don't know where it's going. He hasn't said a word. Just because he came out and attacked Lashley and then later the Shield, that doesn't mean he's going to show up on Raw next week. He could take another week off. He could cut a promo. He could get on Twitter and just go on a Twitter rant. There's so many different ways they can go with this story right now. And who's he going to feud with? It could be Lashley with him directly attacking him, but he was also involved with the Shield. We got to wait and see. This is not one of those stories that I think we can kind of jump to conclusion and guess where it's going, because they could literally take it 100 different ways.
Absolutely. But, yeah, that's all, like, with Raw and stuff like this, the thing about it is they're not going to go – it's never going to go from, oh, this is sucky and boring, to amazing the next week. It's going to take a few weeks of building up the new storyline before you might like it. I'm not saying everybody will like it. I'm pretty sure the way the WWE tells their stories or does their work, there are certain people that will never like what they do. And that's fine. That is absolutely fine. But you do have to be patient on certain things.
Yeah, I mean, with WWE, with them, because you have the diehards, you have your casuals, and then you have your people that only watch, like, Raw during non-football season or whatever you want to say. There's so many different markets that they have to – or not markets, but types of people that they have to reach to. If they only reached to the diehards, they would go out of business.
They absolutely would. It's like even back in the day, if you ever go back – if you ever go back to Attitude Era Wrestling and count how much actual in-ring wrestling there is, you would probably be shocked.
On a three-hour show, you may get 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, because it was all about the storytelling. I mean, that's what it was about. It was like, it was Jerry Springer, but instead of fighting, you wrestled in the ring. So it's like you have to go back and notice that if you want to see what you're like, oh, man, I grew up on the Attitude Era. You know, it's like you grew up where you didn't really watch a lot of wrestling because there wasn't a lot of 5-star to matches in the Attitude Era. You know,
there wasn't a lot of 3-star matches in the Attitude Era.
Exactly. It was a lot of stunners, a lot of stunners, a lot of stumping the mud hole in people and walking them dry, you know. Stone Cold told an old school style. You build up with kicks, punches, body slams, that kind of stuff, and then you hit your finisher. That's how he told his story, which is great. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. It's just he wasn't out there throwing V triggers, you know?
Right.
So, but that's it. It was just my thought on Raw. It was just like I just really think sometimes people don't know what they want. Another thought from Raw. One more thought from Raw. The Bella Twins came back. Bathroom Break came back. First big spot Brie goes for, she fucks it up. I'm telling you, it's like, oh God, WWE doesn't. Sometimes I'm like, a lot of people complain about it. They don't care what their fans think. The Bellas had nothing to do with the Divas Revolution. Except people got so tired of them in the Divas Resolution that they's like, please give other divas a chance. It's like, yeah. I'm like, Bree hooks her leg on the rope and almost breaks her neck. And I'm like, good Lord.
And she did that twice.
Yeah. It was like, good Lord, Bree. Obviously, you can't do that. So stop trying. I mean,
and I was listening to another podcast earlier today at my lunch hour, and it was Justin Labar. And he said something. He's kind of right. Like, Brie probably wouldn't do that if she hasn't done it while she was working out and things like that. She's probably done that successfully 100 times. But in this moment, she messed up. Yes. I've never been a big fan of Brie. And then it did take guts. I'll give her this. It took guts to try it again a second time in the match after she messed it up the first time. That did take some guts, and I give her that. But Nikki at least got a little bit better in the ring over the years. Brie never really, not so much. But I don't know. Maybe they print money for the WWE, so they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And with a topic we're probably going to talk about, I don't know if we're going to talk about it next or later on, we're definitely going to be seeing more Brie Bella.
But the thing is, it's the participation. That's, to me, is the participation trophy mindset. It took guts to try. Well, she didn't execute it. So I don't care if it took guts to try. She didn't execute it.
I understand what you're coming from, but I do give her credit for trying, especially after failing so bad the first time.
Yeah.
Because most people would have waited a week or two before trying it again.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you can't do it. And it's funny because, of course, they put them over the Riot Squad, which was stupid because, you know, the Riot Squad can actually wrestle. And then you got Sasha and Bayley, and it's just like people that do these moves, they work. Every week, they work the weekends, they work shows, so they know how to do them. Why not just let the people that know how to do the stuff do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like I said, they're bathroom break matches to me. I don't want the Bellas on my screen. Someone on one of the other groups said, name a person that you don't want back in the WWE and you turn the channel anytime they're on. It's Brie and Nikki Bella for me. Nikki got better. Don't get me wrong. Brie's horrendous. And Nikki's gotten better. But still, I don't want them on my screen. I want the actual women that work every week on my screen. I can't stand them. I don't like what they represent, the whole reality TV. I know a lot of women getting checks from the reality show. And I mean, hey, get your check. I'm not going to argue with that. But it's just, can't stand the Bella Twins. They might be the nicest, sweetest, most genuine people ever, but when I watch their show, they come off as vapid and annoying, and I don't want to, like, because I don't like them, I don't want to see them on the ring, I don't want to see them, period.
Yeah, I'll give Nikki at least, I met Nikki before WrestleMania 32 around back where they came in and out, she was getting something off the bus, and she walked back by and talked to me and my son for a minute, but she's nice. That's about the best thing I can say about her.
Yeah, and they got the fans, and the fans go out and line up to meet them. If they were assholes, they wouldn't do that, you know?
Right.
So, you know, like, I understand their purpose. I just think they can serve their purpose without actually wrestling.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they could do the whole Total Bellas and never put them on WWE TV again outside of a little promo here and there for it and never step foot in the ring again.
Yeah. I'm not going in any particular order. I just felt like ranting about Raw, so I did. But since we talked about Raw, might as well talk about SmackDown. We got the rehashing of a storyline because it was – first, it was Miz and Maryse versus John Cena and Nikki Bella. Now it's Miz and Maryse against Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. These two storylines have one big thing in common. I didn't give a fuck about the first one. I don't give a fuck about this one. I don't want to see it. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete rehash, and they try to make Brie Bella this badass. And I'm just like, Maryse is actually a former women's champion. Out of all the people that can hold their own in the ring, it would be Maryse. You know, she's a better wrestler than Brie Bella. But, of course, they're not going to put that over. Brie's a badass because she's, you know, protecting her man. And then Daniel Bryan and The Miz. Of course, Daniel Bryan's better than Miz. I have no problem with that because, you know, Daniel Bryan is better than The Miz. But I don't have any problem with that, you know. But I don't want to see the storyline. It's a waste of time on SmackDown. We got some good news this week that Daniel Bryan re-signed with the WWE. Hopefully, it's the end of this, like, holding crap. You can just seem like they're holding Daniel Bryan back. They don't want to push him to the main top of the card because he hadn't signed with the WWE. Now that his name's on paper, I'm hoping after this mixed match, whatever, he says he's going back for the WWE title and he gets back in the main event picture or something. And we get that green, you know, we get a full match with Almas. We get a full match with AJ. We get a full match with Samoa Joe. And we actually get to see Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan actually wrestle. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying now that his name's on the paper, it may start happening. What do you think about this feud first? Let me ask that.
The feud itself, once you inserted Brie and Maryse into a more of a permanent fixture, I guess you would say, in this feud, I started backing down a little bit and not caring as much. The Miz and Daniel Bryan take my money. Just those two going back and forth between the promos and all that, that's always going to be really good. But once you insert Brie and Maryse, I'm not so interested. And then they've also inserted Sienna Moss and Zelina Vega into this feud. And I don't know how that's going to play out. But the last 2 weeks, they've been feuding with Daniel Bryan and Brie as well. And then you had all six of them out there at one point this week. So I don't know. There's just a lot going on with, frankly, two people I don't care all that much about in Brie and also Daniel Bryan. But with that being said, Daniel Bryan resigning, a lot of people thought I was going to crap on this. Well, I wanted one of two things to happen. One, for him to leave the WWE, get on with Ring of Honor, New Japan, go out there and do what Cody did, do what he did before he came to the WWE, Daniel Bryan, that is. Or two, I wanted him to re-sign with the WWE, which is what he did, to where maybe they will put him in a story to where he has the chance to change my opinion on him. I want to see him work, and I want to see him work with some people that can go in the ring. The Amos, AJ, Joe, Kevin Owens. I want to see him with all these guys that a lot of people have seen all over the world that I haven't seen or the casual fan hasn't seen. So I'm really intrigued where they go with Daniel Bryan, even though I'm not a fan. I want it to succeed. I don't want him in the title picture right now, but I'm really looking forward to seeing where they're going with it once they're done with this story at Hell in a Cell.
All right, yeah. And I completely agree with that. Also on SmackDown, we got who won the triple threat this week? Was it the Usos or the Bar? Who was it? I don't remember now. I had it in my brain, and it just like literally left right when I was.
The Bar won last week, and then they came out.
Oh, Rusev Day won this week. Okay.
Yeah, Rusev Day.
So we got Rusev Day and The Bar to face. They're going to wrestle each other, see who faces the New Day. Who are you rooting for in this finals of this tag tournament?
Probably The Bar, because I really like Cesaro. I like Rusev, and I like what they're doing with Rusev, but I really like watching Cesaro work and to see Cesaro in the ring with the New Day some more and the stuff that he can do with them. It'd be really good.
The Rusev Day stuff almost seems like 2 months too late. it was like really, really hot, and like wow, I didn't realize it was this, like 3 months too late. Like in June, July, it was really, really hot before Rusev got his title match and everything like that. It seemed like that was the time to put the tag belts on Rusev Day, or at least put them in a tag team main event. And they didn't pull the trigger, so I feel like this is too late. And I'm like, with Sheamus and Cesaro coming back, and with the opportunity to fight the New Day, which they always put on amazing matches.
Yeah. And with the bar, I'm like you, with the bar coming back, the SmackDown, or the tag team division itself, there for a while, it was booked really well. And it's tailored off again to where it's not so great. Yeah. I'm hoping with the bar coming back in and the New Day being a focal point, having a belt, and Dolph and Drew on Raw having the belt, I'm hoping the tag team division can get back to where it is a focal point and we can see some great tag team matches again.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like. The Bar and New Day are, every time they wrestle, it's at least a 4-star tag match. And I think they've put on, like, when the titles changed, when they finally ended the streak, I think that was a borderline 5-star match. And since I really do love tag team wrestling, I want the best tag team to fight the best tag team. Rusev Day is great, and they're great characters, and the song, and they're super over, but they're kind of, it feels like the B team winning the belts to me, putting the belts on Rusev Day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like, you're talking about the New Day versus the Bar. I guess it's been about a month and a half now, but that main event match they had on SmackDown that went 32 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah.
That match was incredible.
So that's what they do. They put on great matches. So if you're asking me, do I want kind of a comedy match, or do I want a classic tag team match? The answer is pretty obvious if you're talking to me or Ryan. We're gonna take the classic tag team match. Oh, yeah, I did forget something on Raw. I don't like to backtrack, but I forgot, and it was too good to pass up. Drake Maverick as the new manager of AOP, coming out in the AOP gear. What did you think of that?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm a big fan of Drake Maverick. I've been for years, dating back to him being an Impact as Rockstar Spud. But they pulled Paul Ellering away from him to bring him up. Why? We'll never know. They're putting Rockstar Spud with him now. So he's doing double duty as their manager for now and the 205 Live GM. Rockstar Spud is a good talker, and he can be that annoying little pest that just gets under your skin, but I don't see the purpose with AOP. Like, I know it's only been 1 week. I need to see a little bit more of it develop before I fully form an opinion. But right now, I don't see the point, and I don't see the purpose. I don't see what he brings to the table for them, and I don't see what they bring to the table for him, because they're not going to crisscross with 205 Live. At least I don't think you're going to see AOP show up on 205 Live anytime soon to wreak havoc. It wouldn't make any sense.
Well, I don't see them, you know, but I don't see them really, you know, showing up on 205 Live like to wrestle or anything. But let's just say someone's giving, it'd just be cool. I love continuity. I love when stories cross over from one show to another. Let's just say Drew Gulak gets out of line, you know, and pushes Drake Maverick or something. The next week, the AOP comes in and fucking destroys your Gulag. That would be pretty funny. And that way, yeah, it would set up the idea that you don't mess with Drake Maverick. Like, you don't mess with him because, you know, he has two, The Albanian Psycho is one of the one of them's called. He's got AOP just waiting there to kill anybody he points them at the direction. And that's what I see him as. Drake Maverick, I think the whole AOP thing is a reward. He's done really, really good job as the GM of 205 Live. He is the only, like, actual authority figure other than William Regal that I like in the WWE. I mean, Paige is getting way better every week, but Drake Maverick acts like a GM. He's like, I make the matches, you know. He's like, I make the matches. Every time someone tries to jump in line, he doesn't allow it. It usually has something to do with the champion asking them to be able to skip the line. And that's what I like. I like him as a GM role. He is very, even though he's out front, he's very detached in the same way. So I enjoy that about him. So I like him with AOP. I've always been of the opinion AOP means a manager. Paul Ellering was old. Vince hates old people. You know that's true.
Yeah.
That's old or like old school, he's going to be like, no, he's not. He's like, he even wanted to get away from the Roman numerals on WrestleMania and went to the symbols because he didn't want the 35, 36 and all that stuff making it seem old. So he's not going to put a 60, 70-year-old man on his screen every week. Just not going to do it. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, that's just not his style. I mean, Bob Backlund with Darren Young didn't last that long. Putting somebody that old on his screen is not Vince McMahon's idea of the professional wrestling or sports entertainment that he wants to present. So.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, but yeah, so those are the two big things from SmackDown. We got more AJ and Samoa Joe crap. Like I said, the whole thing with his wife kind of has thrown a wrench in the AJ Styles Samoa Joe feud that I was looking forward to, because it feels like it's something that was added for no reason. Samoa Joe wants a belt. AJ Styles thinks he's the best wrestler in the world. Go. That's all you need. Right?
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. I'm over this feud.
Why? Yeah. Yeah, like, why do you need the wife and kids? I mean, all it has to be is Samoa Joe wants the title, and he'll do anything to get it. AJ Styles is the best person in the world in between these four ropes. I think they could promo on that all week. And I think they could promo on that for 6 weeks or however long the feud you want to go to. It's just, you don't need the Wendy thing. I mean, Samoa Joe sounds creepy. He does it perfectly, but it's just not needed. And it's like, maybe this is the pure wrestling fan out of me and all that stuff. I don't want AJ Styles in storylines. I want anybody like AJ Styles to me is the one of the better wrestlers in the world. He should be above storylines. Everybody else should have storylines. But AJ's storyline is the only storyline that you need. I am the WWE champion. I am the longest reigning WWE champion, and inside these four ropes, inside this squared circle, no one can beat me.
That's all it needs.
That's all it needs. And AJ's really good at saying that. He's really good at having the cocky attitude. He's really good at, you know, he does the hair flipped, you know. He's really good at that, you know. So just let him do that. So, but yeah, that's it from that. On to this week, I avoided most spoilers, but I'm in a couple of Facebook groups, and this is why I generally only stay in my Facebook group. And I'm not trying to insult anyone Facebook group, but our Facebook group, we have a pretty much tight knit of active followers, and we only had really one problem at one time with a person that posted spoilers. We corrected that. Everyone else is really, really good at not posting spoilers. So I like my group. I like the group that me, Ryan, and JG put together, has cultured, we have cultured environment where you can talk about wrestling. You'll have a place to talk about the live shows that are going on, right? But you don't have to worry about getting spoiled. Well, other groups have not gotten that down. They're more worried about having 1,000 people, 3,000 people. I'd rather have 12 people that follow the rules and give me good conversation than 10,000 people, and 2,000 of those are trolls.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just so I had this one. The group went to the Wikipedia of the Mae Young, not of the Mae Young Classic. He went to the Wikipedia of Evolution. So, of course, the Wikipedia Evolution has the card for the Mae Young Classic, which is the finals. He literally screenshot it there and said, "There you go," whatever, like marks. And so
asshole.
He spoiled it on purpose. There was no way to avoid it. So I know who's in the finals of the Mae Young Classic, which sucks. But this week I watched NXT, which was a decent episode. It was a lot more soap opera-y this week with the whole who beat Aleister Black thing. Not really going to go a lot into NXT because I honestly thought it was a fairly forgettable episode. The only big thing I could say that happened is was that this week the whole Pete Dunne and Ricochet match? That wasn't even this week. I think that was last week.
Yeah, I don't remember that match being this week. The only match this week I remember was Velveteen and Gargano.
Yes, and that was a perfect ending, and I love Velveteen Dream winning. But you know, Mae Young Classic. You said you have the results. What were the matches this week? Tell everybody the matches this week.
There was four matches this week for the first part of round one. Based on the way they did it this week, looks like round one will take about 4 weeks to complete. In the first match, it was Zatara and Tegan Nox. And Tegan Nox got the victory.
With the shiniest wizard?
Yes. Mm. And the second match, we had MJ Jenkins and Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley got the win. And
we were both impressed by Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I don't remember her from the first Mae Young Classic. And they said she made the quarterfinals, but I do not remember her.
She was blonde, Australian. She looked like every other person that they brought in. So you don't remember her because her look has drastically changed.
Okay.
So if you Google her and you'll see her, and she was skinnier, and she has definitely put on some muscle gotten. She looks more intimidating now. But if you look at her original, when she was originally got there, she had like a volleyball player look. She looked like a model, you know? That's what she looked like. She's 6 foot blonde, a model, and then she kind of looked like a generic creator wrestler. And then now she's got that, like the punk. I wouldn't even know if it's the punk. I don't know. Kind of the dark vibe to her now, right. and she's very intimidating. And that pump handle powerbomb is sick.
Yeah, that was my favorite, I think, move of the night. So it looked really good.
Yeah.
In the third match, we had Vanessa Craven and Lacey Lane, and Vanessa Craven is a very tall individual.
Yeah, she is 6'2". So she's 2 inches taller than I am.
Yeah, she was tall. And in the upset of the night, Lacey Lane got the victory with a roll-up.
Yeah, over Craven. Lacey Lane, she came from the Dudley Boys School. She seems to be friends with Leo Rush. They have, I don't know if they are in a relationship or whatever. I haven't looked it up. But Leo Rush was outside, and he looked like he was cheering for her. And then she does, like, a crucifix bomb, which the sad part is she couldn't do the crucifix bomb because Craven was so big. The spot was very clunky, and it was like, okay, that's how she's going to beat her? Yeah, that, I mean, honestly, that didn't work for me. That whole match didn't work for me. Everything else was just, that was a match. This match didn't work for me at all.
Yeah. No, yeah. This was probably my least favorite match of the night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it was just an outright terrible match. It was just I didn't buy into the story they were trying to tell. But the main event of the night, this was the match of the night for me. We had, and I'm going to not say this right, Miko Satomura.
That's exactly how you say it, Miko Satomura.
Okay, and Killer Kelly. This was very much a strong style type match. It was hard hitting, and they just beat the crap out of each other at times.
And you know what's sad is that, you know, they've had to change the way the Death Valley Driver is done, right?
Right.
Where you land more on your back than on the side of your head, like when Tommy Dreamer used to do it.
Right.
Her Death Valley Driver looked better than any men's I've seen in, like, years.
Yeah, it was really good.
It looked stiff. It looked like if you did that to someone, they would stay down for three.
Yeah, it definitely looked legit.
And I was actually like, that move was over with me. Like, two moves that really, really got over with me was her Death Valley Driver and the power bomb into the pump handle power bomb done by Rhea Ripley. I think those were the most over moments from the night as far as moves.
I would agree with that.
And Craven, I mean, if she gets a little more smooth in her movements and wrestles more of a big person style, like tosses people around, you know, does the Braun Strowman type thing, I think she could have a future in this business. But just because she is just so much bigger than everybody, it's intimidating.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know how long she's been wrestling or anything, but, and it could have just been who she was paired up with and those two didn't click or whatever, I don't know. But Craven, just on her size alone, if she can get those movements and all that, she could be a monster in the WWE.
Yeah, she could definitely get that down. I want to point out, I'm really jealous of Conrad. He got a Nightmare Family shirt, and that pissed me off.
Yeah, I saw that. He got the jacket.
He got the jacket, and that pissed me off. I'm like, but I want the jacket. And I would get it monogrammed the same way. I wouldn't get Floyd there, but I would get it monogrammed the same way. But, yeah, I just saw that on Twitter, and it kind of, like, just irked me that I don't feel like anybody should have a jacket before me at this point. It's like Cody couldn't pick me out of a lineup, but I'm still like, no one should have a jacket but me. I buy everything he says. I buy crap. I buy it. So whatever. But the Mae Young Classic, I'm looking forward to the other first round matches. I'm looking forward to it building over the next few weeks. Even though I do know how it ends, I'm looking forward to seeing how it gets there.
All right. On to some news that kind of came out of, I would say out of nowhere. Mixed Max Challenge is coming back for season two.
Yes, and I actually have the teams here. And so, yeah, and it looks like it's coming back fairly soon. Like, when is it supposed to start season two?
We will actually be at the debut.
Yeah, September 18th is when it comes back. The teams. We got Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman coming back. Team Little Big. We got Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal. Okay, let's do a little fun game. Let's try to come up with names for them. Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal. That is a very confusing group. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't have a name for that one.
Jinder Mahal, what? Oh God, she's crazy. And he's, what's his thing? Like, the peacefulness. It has to be
Shanti. Something. Crazy Shanti.
Crazy Shanti. All right, that works. Kevin Owens and Natalya, I already had the name for them. They're Team Grumpy Cat.
That works.
Finn Balor and Bayley. I'm thinking the Hug Club. The Hug.
Okay. It's
a name. Is it a good one? No. But it is a name. And you know, WWE, a lot of times in these Mixed Match Challenge, they don't come up with very good names. And Sasha Banks, you know they have to do something with the Boss. I don't know. What would they call him? And he's Dominate. He's back to Dominate. The Boss and Bob. That's what Roman would call him. Boss and Bob. And on the SmackDown, we got AJ Styles and Charlotte, which is of phenomenal flair.
There you go.
Miz and Asuka, team Ask'em. You know, they did that.
Yeah.
And then R-Truth and Carmella. The Truth is Money.
There you go.
Jimmy Uso and Naomi. I don't think they came up with a name. The Uso Glows. It's like Uso Glows or something like that. And then Rusev and Lana, of course, is Rusev Day and Lana Day.
Right.
Yeah, who you think is going to win? Because you don't have Asuka's undefeated streak holding her back anymore.
Right.
So.
Let's see. All right. I'll tell you who I think will be in there in the final, and I'll tell you who I want to win. I think, without seeing a bracket, I think the finals is going to be something like probably AJ and Charlotte and KO and Natty.
Yeah, okay. I can honestly see that. So who do you think will win, and who do you want to win?
I think KO and Natty are going to win. And if this was like some legitimate thing where it had some real stuff with it, I would not say this, but I want R-Truth and Carmella to win it.
Yeah, because they're hilarious.
That would make for excellent once a week, twice a week, like on the show, the 10, 15 minutes that they get on the Mixed Match Challenge, and then the little 5-minute segment they get every SmackDown to build up to it. I think it would be fun, and it would be some little side entertainment, so to speak, that's not a main storyline.
Yeah, I think it'll end up being AJ Styles and Charlotte. I want it to be Sasha Banks and Bobby Lashley. I would love to see Sasha Banks and Bobby Lashley versus AJ Styles and Charlotte at the end, because that'll be two groups of people that we haven't. AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley were in different parts of Impact, you know, so they didn't really fight each other. so I would like to see them fight each other. And then Sasha and Charlotte hasn't fought each other in years because they've been doing their best to keep them away from each other. So I see them putting on an actual good match. Because, you know, as much as the Mixed Match Challenge is a thing, I thought all their matches sucked last time. You know,
it was just, I only watched the first night last time. And then I just kept track of who won.
Yeah, I watched every match, and it was just like they suck. And, you know, whatever. But, yeah, the Mixed Match Challenge is coming back. Facebook's coming off that money. So, hey, they're going to – apparently the number's pretty big for the 120-minute match a week that they get. I wonder if Beth Phoenix is coming back. I imagine she would be. And it will be pretty much the same way. We will be SmackDown on that Tuesday the 18th. So we'll see SmackDown. We'll see the Mixed Match Challenge. And then we'll see 205 Live, which I'm going to try to be especially overly pumped up for 205 Live to try to help make some noise for that show. What else are we looking at as far as news this week? Let's see. Oh, okay. I think we're done with the WWE stuff. What we're going to talk about is on September 29th in Ardmore, Oklahoma, Heritage Hall in Ardmore, Oklahoma, the World Class Revolution will be presenting Oklamania 3. Oklamania 3, the tentative theme, I don't know if it's still the theme, but the tentative theme is a salute to WCW. Ryan, I'm going to shut up, and you go through the list of the people that are going to be on there.
All right. This list could have changed by now. If it has, my apologies to Jerry and whoever else is listening that might know a little bit about this. I pulled this off of an older post off of World Class Revolutionary, off their Facebook page. So, we've got, Damon Windsor, the Step Brothers, Niles Plunk, Flex Zerba, El Fuego del Sol. Those are some of the guys and the people that wrestle for that promotion. You've got Justin Roberts. You've got the Aero Club of Coyote, the lovely and talented Desi Dorada, and Kid Cash. You've got John Morrison and Taya Valkyrie. You've got Chavo Guerrero Jr. You've got Juventud Guerra. You've got the big bad booty daddy, Scott Steiner. You've got good old Jim Ross. And I'm not sure this is in a wrestling capacity, but he was listed former MLB superstar author Jose Canseco.
I'm looking at the list, and it's a very good list. It's going to get a lot of people in Ardmore a lot of love, and I'm hoping people in Oklahoma City and all parts of Oklahoma that may listen to this show make the trip to Heritage Hall on September 29th for Oklamania 3. Big news is me and Ryan will be there all day. We have a table set up. We'll be giving out candy, the cards. We'll be talking wrestling with people as we discuss the show and all the things going on with the show. And we'll be giving updates every week as they add people. They generally do, on these Oklamania, they do a meet and greet before the show where you can get the autographs, take pictures with the wrestlers. And, of course, we'll be, like I said, we'll be there. We'll be taking names and emails so you can be a part of and be more of an interactive part of our show. But what I was saying is this is supposed to be a WCW tribute. And, of course, there's some people that we think might be there, but we're not going to say any names until we get to until Jerry releases them officially. But right now it's not much of a WCW tribute as more of just a good indie show. So I want to see some more WCW names in there. big name I want to see that you know that's not on here is DDP. He was pretty much the heart and soul of WCW, especially towards the end. If he could get, of course, Buff Bagwell. He was a WCW guy pretty much through and through. I think he only like worked one, maybe two cards with the WWE before he left. Sid Vicious. If you get someone like Perry Saturn or Dean Malenko, I doubt it. But stuff like that. If Stevie Ray's in Houston, get Stevie Ray to come to the show. I'm just throwing out some names I want. I'm not saying names that are going to be there because I don't know. Me and Jerry have not talked about the debut. He says he should be releasing some names early next week, and that's when we'll cover them. I'm just throwing out some names of people I want. How about you?
Yeah, those are some good names. Sid Vicious would be a name. I know he's done some work with World Clash for different TV tapings and stuff that they've done. He would be cool. Stevie Ray would be good. I don't know if they could get Booker T to be there with him with the whole WWE thing, but Stevie Ray would be cool. Who else would I like to see on there? The fee is probably way too high, but it'd be cool to see like a Ric Flair appearance. My ultimate hope, I know he's wanted to do this and he said this for a while, is a Four Horsemen thing. I would love to see it somewhere here in the area where Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, Tully, and JJ are all together. That's like the ultimate thing that I want. Like meeting the Horsemen at StarCast and then a couple years ago when Floyd and I met Ric Flair it was awesome. But to see them all together, the ones that went into the Hall of Fame and my favorite incarnation, I believe it's Floyd's as well, that would be like the ultimate get.
Yeah, definitely. If Barry Windham's up to it and he could get out for a meet and greet, that would be awesome. But yeah, I wonder like if Mongo McMichael does these type of things.
He, according to the Eric Bischoff podcast, he does do some in and around the Chicago area because he still does radio stuff and things like that up in that area. So maybe.
Yeah, so that would be cool. That kind of thing. I just, like I said, it's just one of those. I like him to get as many WCW people as he can. I make it a true tribute show. That'd be awesome. I think if they could get Flying Brian Pillman Jr. to come, you know, that's where Brian Pillman made his name, was WCW.
Yeah, and he's worked with Jerry before,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's possible.
So definitely get him in. It's like there's a lot of different names that and you know, and maybe find younger wrestlers that just, you know, were fans of WCW. I mean, I know Shane Helms was in 3 Count, which was in WCW, and that would be kind of cool to get him, Shannon Moore, and Evan Courageous back together. That would be kind of cool. But these are just things I come through my mind because I have very fond memories of WCW, even towards the end when no one was watching it. I was still watching it every week.
You get Hurricane.
Yes. And Ray looks like he's signing back with the WWE, but that would be probably the biggest get, is if he could get Ray Mysterio.
Yeah, I would love to see Ray and Juventud have a match at Oklahomania.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But I think everyone was under the opinion that All In was probably his last independent gig before he goes back to the WWE. It may or may not be. Jerry has contacts in the business, so maybe he can pull off something as far as that. But yes, please, I'm going to say it one more time. September 29th, Heritage Hall, Ardmore, Oklahoma. If you can make the drive, come join us. Come talk to us as we try as more to get our name out there as the local podcast for wrestling in Oklahoma. And we want to just be there. World Class always puts on a good show. You always get your money's worth, so definitely be there for that. Let's see. I got.
Yeah, and with the tickets usually start like $10, $15 for those shows. So if you can make the drive out there, tickets, they do a good job of making the shows affordable for families.
Yes. Stadium upper level are $10. Stadium lower level, $20. Floor reserved, $50. VIP second row is $100. VIP first row is $125. On the VIPs, it includes a commemorative poster also. Gets you early access at 5 p.m. and it includes a commemorative poster. So to give you more time to hang out with your boys from around the ring. Before we get off, well, we're now closing up. So how do you think, I'm going to ask you a random question. Okay. How do you think this NWA title run is going to go for Cody Rhodes? Do you think it's going to be a short run where they just gave him the title to get the name of the belt out there and then he's going to drop it at the anniversary show? Do you think it's going to be a long run where they try to build up another person to take the title away from Cody? Or do you think it's all depending on when he signs in January, which is, I mean, obvious answer or whatever, but, I mean, that's kind of where I state. So where do you think?
All right. My personal hope is it's a little bit of a combination of all this. I hope it's a longer run to build him as a – whether it be a face or a heel. I prefer heel Cody. But build it up long term and you build up a challenger to come at him to put – and when he does finally lose it, to put that guy over the top and to make another star. Because Cody is a star. There's no doubt about it. I believe I saw they've announced that it's going to be Cody and Nick Aldis at the anniversary show again in the rematch. So hopefully Cody can retain there. I imagine the contract in January has a huge – January, February is going to have a huge impact. I hope he keeps it until either – till right before that. And if he re-signs – I hope he keeps it a little bit longer. I would love to see it show up on ROH TV. I'd love to see it show up on New Japan. Like he can carry it to the ring with him when he goes to face Juice here in a couple weeks for the New Japan US title. And then all the other indie shows that he goes to. It's something that I think Billy Corgan has done a good job of promoting the company with what he has. Now that he has a champ that is known worldwide by not only diehards but casual fans, they have a real opportunity here to put their company over the top. And I hope they jump on it.
Yeah, because Juice, let me say, Juice does not work. I mean, I don't see him at a lot of local shows, or he might work local shows, I don't know. It looks like he works exclusively Japan. So, this is a hot take. That might be a name for your next NWA champion, you know, to go around America. He's a big name. He's a good worker. He is flamboyant. The only thing is, I don't know how he'll feel like about being followed around on tape, because he's kind of a private person.
And not only that, he's one of the guys and with New Japan, when they started reeling in the reins a little bit, I've heard it on numerous podcasts, and they talk about him as he doesn't have a family-friendly mouth a lot of the times. So I haven't watched any of the NWA shows, but I hear about him all the time on the YouTube, the 10 Pounds of Gold, I believe they call it, for their show. But that would be interesting to have a camera following him around all the time.
That would be interesting because, yeah, it's F-bomb this, F-bomb that. It is, yeah. He even says when he used to go out and he would talk to Kevin Kelly, but once they made the rule, he just says, I can't say anything. So, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, I just thought he'd be a good hot take for the next NWA champion. If somehow he can clear his name and get out of the doghouse, I think Mike Elgin would be another good name. I think Mike Elgin would be a good name for Cody Rhodes to beat.
You know, like
the next challenger after Aldis, if they wanted to bring in Elgin and have Cody beat him a few times, I think that would be a good challenger for it. But apparently, you know, people still don't like Elgin. So, again, you know, with the whole controversy with the girl or whatever, which I, like I said, I'm not really aware of because I don't try to, get involved in that kind of crap. So, I just think he's a good wrestler. So, it would be, if you need to put on good matches to get their name out there, to get people talking about your belt, Mike Elgin always puts on good matches. So,
what about somebody like ACH?
ACH would be good. I think ACH, you know, because he holds a lot of titles, AAW titles. He held the AAW title. He's the title in Dallas. So he's a name. So he'd definitely be somebody you could put Cody up against. And that's what I think is what you have to do when you're in NWA, is you got to find a stable of independent wrestlers willing to be Cody's challengers. He can't just be fighting like Josephus, someone that no one knows, or people like that. Like, maybe fight Nick Aldis. Maybe the next defender be Tim Storm. Tim Storm trying to get his title back, and Cody beats him a couple times in a row. It's just every time he defends that title, it has to feel like a big deal.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I didn't realize ACH has held a lot of titles. I've only seen ACH on MLW, so I don't know a whole lot about him. So.
Well, the local company in Dallas where Keith Lee was champion, ACH was he was the champion there. He was the AAW champion out of Chicago, which is AAW is basically a super indie.
Okay.
He's the AAW champion there. He was a Evolve Tag Team Champion. Everything I'm seeing. Yeah, it's called VIP Wrestling. He's the VIP champion. And then, like I said, he's the AAW champion. He wrestles with Evolve. ACH is one of those people that wrestle with anybody. I just thought of a perfect name for Cody. And he just debuted in ROH, Jeff Cobb.
That'd be a good one.
That'd be a good build-up and a good feud. It's just, like I said, I actually care about the NWA title, and I don't want it to take a step back. When Cody eventually gives it up, I don't want it to take a step back. I want it to keep being forward. I want it to be the second most important title. The second most important title in the North America, and I want it to be the most important title outside of the WWE.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. I mean, that was our title. I mean, yeah. That was the recognized title for us.
Yeah,
WCW and those fans.
Before I knew what went into becoming the NWA champion, it was the NWA champion was the world champion, and the WWF champion was WWF's champion. Because the NWA champion wrestled everywhere and wrestled anybody. They went over to Japan, all that kind of stuff. The WWF champion was the WWF champion, you know, bootleg drop pin. It was like he didn't ever put on what you would call a classic match, but, you know, it was simple.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. So I love the NWA title, love the WWF title. I just, like I said, I like the NWA title meaning something again.
I completely agree with you.
So final battle, that's in December. If Cody gets his whole contract situation set up and he's going to still be the champion, I want the NWA title being defended there. January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 13, whatever title or whatever feud's in, I want the NWA title there. The show, New Japan ROH show in Madison Square Garden. If they all sign with them, I want the NWA title there. I want it everywhere.
That title should be everywhere that Cody – if Cody's holding that belt, it should show up no matter where he's at.
Yeah, and even if they wanted to do something, it would be kind of cool where Cody basically starts crapping on the ROH belt and saying, I have the real world title. You're not the real world champion, Jay Lethal, setting up a feud between them two. That would be awesome. So I just want it to be Yeah, I just want it to matter. And that would definitely help me. Not just help me, just help the NWA. And like I said, I love the passion that Dave Lagana and Billy Corgan have for the belt. And it's in the right hands right now. So we did have a top five for today. And it was the top five things we enjoyed about StarCast All In Weekend. So, do you have your top five, sir?
I do.
All right.
I did get one put together.
All right. That's definitely awesome there. So, let's go ahead and do that. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. I have three.
Okay.
I have I'm going to go be upfront on this. I do not have the show itself included in mine because that's just historic in its own feat. That's been discussed. I don't have the words anymore for what it meant to be in that arena. So I went strictly with StarCast related stuff.
Okay.
My honorable mention is meeting Cody and the Young Bucks, meeting the Golden Lovers. And then just the camaraderie of all the fans and everything in the lines. And if you didn't know where somebody was, you could just ask fans. Everybody was more than willing to help everybody. And that was just awesome to see. Because when you get that many people together, a lot of times people don't want to talk and don't want to help each other. But at StarCast, everybody was there to help everybody, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and that is awesome. That was awesome about that. It's this was a different type of feel to it. One of my honorable mentions is meeting Tessa, Chelsea, and Britt. I put them together because they were all in the women's match at All In, and they were all right next to each other when we met them, and it was really awesome meeting them and getting them to sign my All In turnbuckle pad, and they were all genuinely nice, and that was awesome. That was awesome. So that is my honorable mention. What do you got at five?
I have Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker, and Chelsea Green.
That's awesome.
Just for a lot of the reasons you said, them being in my favorite match at the show, meeting them the last day we were there, getting to talk to them, and seeing their reactions when I was able to tell them that it was my favorite match, and them generally being happy and surprised and wanting to talk and all of that. It was just a really good environment, and it felt very real talking to them.
Yeah. And they seemed genuinely excited that you thought that was the best match and that they were getting so much love, and everybody that was in line to see Tessa, they went over to Chelsea and Britt. And like I said, that was my first experience with Britt, and I did come highly impressed. My number five is Patterson and Briscoe meeting Vince's Stooges. As I've stated, they were two people that I would have never even put on my list of people I wanted to meet because I figured if you had thought they were retired and done with wrestling, so I didn't think I would get a chance to meet them. It was a cool moment. We got a candid moment with them. I really enjoyed that. So that was definitely awesome. What do you have it for?
At number four, I have Brian Pillman Jr. His dad was my all-time favorite wrestler. I've read the biography on his dad. I collect stuff that I can find with his dad. Just getting the chance to talk to him and see about where he's at and what he's wanting to do in the business, and to tell him what his dad meant to me as a fan and how he helped turn me into a huge wrestling fan, and just how he had it. It was really cool to talk to him and really cool to see how humble this kid is. He's not, it doesn't appear he's asking for handouts, because he was asked multiple times. He told me, like, hey, why aren't you on the show? And I've heard it on podcasts too. But when I asked him, I said, hey, what's next for you? He goes, oh, man, you know what? I'm just trying to make it. I've still got to pay my dues. I haven't earned shit yet. I'm still getting used to it. I'm hoping MLW can take me to where I want to go. But if that's as high as I make it, that's fine. for where I stand right now, because I still have to pay my dues and work the territory. I'm nowhere near ready to go to the major leagues and the top dogs. So for a young kid like that to say something like that, it shows that he really respects the business, that he knows he has to pay his dues. And so that, on top of just getting to talk to him about his dad, it was really cool.
All right. Yeah, that was definitely cool meeting him. Number four, I got put in the Cobra Clutch by Sergeant Slaughter. Me and Ryan both did that. We got to sell it. He didn't have to do that. We only paid for one pitcher, but he gave us our pitcher together where he had the Hall of Fame ring. Then he put us both in the Cobra Clutch. That was one of my favorite moves when I was young. It was also called the Million Dollar Dream, also the Shinin no Maki. But they were all good move. They were all a good move, and I really enjoyed that. So, your number three?
My number three is going to, I know, going to show up on your list later, but it was the Four Horsemen. Meeting Arn, Tully, and JJ was really cool. Briefly, I know you spent some time with Arn. While you were doing that, I was just talking to JJ and Tully for that moment, and it was really cool to interact with them, shake their hand, tell them what they meant to me as a fan, and that was just a really cool moment.
My number three, we definitely know that'll be on my list later. My number three was the Cody and Bucks meet and greet. It was just awesome. Cody's always awesome. He comes off larger in life. I didn't even realize he had dyed his hair back blonde, which was awesome. Awesome too, because it made it, when he got color in the match, it added to the match, him being blonde. And the Bucks are always like, thank you for supporting us. Thank you this. They're always so nice. And so, yeah, definitely my number three. What do you got at two?
Number two was one you had a little bit earlier. It was Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe. This is one of those that was, I never thought I would have met him either, but Pat Patterson was really cool. And that, like you said, that photo we have that, I think it was Casio Kid that was taking the pictures at that time for that booth. He got that candid moment where we're kind of looking down at them and they're looking up at us while we're talking. And just that 2 minutes or whatever it was, 2 to 3 minutes of candid conversation. For me, it was huge meeting Gerald Briscoe, him being an Oklahoma State legend, and him talking to me about the upcoming wrestling season and all of that. That was a really cool moment for me, and that was my number two.
All right, and my number two is meeting CM Punk. That was not part of StarCast. But as some of you may know, WrestleMania 30 was my WrestleMania going back. When I decided to go back, CM Punk was the champion. No, CM Punk wasn't the champion. When I decided to go back, I decided to go back to see Punk. And he quit before WrestleMania 30. So I honestly, with his hatred for the WWE and mostly all things wrestling, I didn't think there was any chance that I'd ever get to meet him. I got to meet him in Chicago. He was in a good mood. It was a positive experience. So that was definitely number two.
Awesome. That was a cool moment. That didn't make my list, but I missed all of Punk's run outside of what I've watched here and there on highlight shows and matches with my son when he's watching something on the network. So I don't have that affection, but he was like really cool to talk to and very supportive of the fans, and you could tell he wanted to be there.
All right, what was your number one?
My number one was being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. That was a moment that I'll never forget. And yeah, that was like really cool. And then, because it was originally bought and it was like cut a promo with Tony Schiavone. But I got there. I'm like, look, I don't have a promo. This is the second time I'm meeting you at this event. This one was got just in case I screwed up the first one to give me a chance to talk to you because it was my favorite announcer. And he says, okay, cool. We don't have to do a promo. Just follow my lead. And then he went into like a minute 15 interview. And he just kind of rolled with it. And so he was true professional. And then to add to that, something I didn't know when they release the podcast on Wednesday, my interview is on the podcast. They recorded everything that he did while he was at StarCast, and then they put it into the weekly podcast that they released. So that just kind of added to the moment, too, that my interview made that podcast.
That is an awesome moment for you. I was so happy for you. I know what Shivani meant for you. And, you know, I even saw it at the time when you were there, how much that made you happy. So that definitely, that was one of my favorite moments of the week that weren't directly had to do with me, because you got to meet him and Pillman. It was just your reactions and how you got to communicate with them made me happy for you. My number one, I met Arn Anderson. I looked at Arn and I said, everything I know about being a friend, I learned from your relationship with Ric Flair. And he kind of paused and there was just a moment of silence. I didn't think he heard me. And then he's like, that's really profound. He's like, that's really profound. He like said it twice. And then we took our pictures. I mean, I didn't get much more out of him out of that. But the fact that he actually thought about what I said and made a comment was everything to me. Meeting Arn Anderson, everything to me. It was everything I could expect, because all I've been told is that he was an angry asshole my whole life. So the fact that we had that moment and he didn't come off as an angry asshole was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. While I was standing over there with JJ and Tully while you were taking that picture, that was a cool moment, kind of to see it was, and you could just see the joy and the glee in your face when you were taking that, making a smile and talking to him and all that. You could just see the excitement. That was an awesome moment.
Yeah, and it was very good. I know if you listen to the show, you're probably tired of us hearing us talk about StarCast All In Weekend. And that's fine. And I will apologize. This is what I live for. This is the passion that I hope you tune into to listen to every week. We love wrestling. When we get to go to once in a lifetime moments like this, this is the reasons we love wrestling, the moments. Sharing it with fans, sharing it with your friends, sharing it with your family. That's what you want to do as far as wrestling. So we had a great time, but I'm saying it now. This is it. Next week, we'll be covering Raw, SmackDown. I promise I am going to type it up. We are going to cover the last few weeks of Impact Wrestling, because I've been telling you to watch Impact Wrestling, but we haven't really been talking about it. I'm going to catch up on MLW, and we're going to get some Road to Destruction shows. So we're going to talk a lot about wrestling in the shows that we watch. I'm going to do my best to burn myself out again this week, catching up on the wrestling that I've missed for All In. Ryan, do you have any parting words?
I have one last question for you. I know it arrived before we went to All In. Have you had the chance to play, and do you like Fire Pro Wrestling?
It is still sealed, but I played it on beta on computer, and I loved it.
Okay.
So I had already played it. So I still own it on Steam. So I still love it. I'm going to crack that one open probably tomorrow or Sunday, and I'll tell you how it plays on PS4.
Awesome. So that's a game that I'm interested in.
Next week I'll give my own little review of how it plays on PS4.
Cool.
All right, remind me of that. I'm actually going to take a few notes about the stuff we're going to cover next week, because I tend to forget from one week to another. So I'm going to do better with my follow through as far as talking about stuff from one week to another. But if that's all, I want to say thank you to everyone that's listening. We are on the Chairshot Network. Our show's uploaded every week by noon. You can follow us on facebook.com/AroundTheRingOK, twitters.com/AroundTheRingOK. And, you know, any questions you have, AroundTheRingOK@gmail.com. Enjoy football seasons. The NFL starts this week. This will be me and Ryan's first college football week, because we were out of town last week. So it's going to be an all football weekend for us, but we'll get back to wrestling on Monday. And make sure you understand, this world may get you down. It may stress you out. Unfortunately, we've been losing a lot of people lately. You know, unfortunately, Death is a part of life. So it's the final part. So celebrate the lives of the people that you have in your lives right now. Let them know how important they are to you. But most importantly, remember this world, it's all a work. Don't forget to kick out at two. We'll see you next time around the ring.